Good evening to each and every one of you. It's good to see you here. For those that happen to be live streaming, welcome as well. We have a unique opportunity today. One, we had a chance to come and partake of the sacrament to be strengthened and fed. And we have an opportunity to come and to hear the gospel taught. During the first chorus or part of the song, I stopped and I was pondering the final sentence. Thus saith my Lord and King, will be ye reconciled to God. And that's what our King came to do, is to reconcile us to his Father, our God. And it's through the foolishness of preaching that we are to be taught and to be strengthened and edified, that we might have an opportunity to do that very thing, to be reconciled to God. I know my uncle well, and I know he's not short on words. But each and every one of them comes from our Father, which loves him, to give to us. And he loves us as well. So I'll give you our speaker of the hour, my Uncle Hubert.
Thank you, Jim. The same thing that touched Jim touched me in the song we sang, and how important it is that we reconcile ourselves to God, and how important that is. That's what we're here for, is to hear about the Word of God, the direction. If I was to tell you, you know, we need to go to Mesa, why, there'd be a bunch of us who go different roads and different ways and one thing and another, go to Mesa and everything. But if I tell you you want to go to the kingdom of heaven, there's one road. And it was sent to us by the Son of God the Father, even our Lord Jesus Christ. And sent before us so that we would know. And caused the scriptures to be written so that we didn't have to guess. That through the Holy Scriptures we had a right to know our God and his Son. And the things that he taught, and the things that he directed, and how important it is that as we come, we come. And I heard my sister Chris said, you know, she doesn't set a resolution. She doesn't this. She sets the deal up, and one thing and another. And I'm here to say that there's a lot of resolutions set, but for a year is a very vast mistake. There should be a revolution set in our life daily to walk the path of our Lord. Not through a year. As we view ourselves and view the things that come to church to change or to reaffirm and be firm in and one thing and another, a firm determination to do those things, it needs to be in the gospel of Christ. That's what we're sent here for. We're sent here to choose why we're here. We're sent here for one purpose, to choose where we want to go live from all eternity to all eternity. Is there anybody here that's old enough to understand within the sound of my voice that don't know that you're making a decision each day of your life? How important it is that the Scriptures tells us that we should pray morning, midday, and evening, and then they should be in our heart all the day long. how important it is that we realize that we're sent here to make a choice. That's why He's given us our own free agency to choose what we're going to do. And you know, as I've sat back there and I've listened to my brothers preach, I hear the message that the Lord is sending to us. That it's important that we wake up and recognize that we have a job to do, not only for Him, but for ourselves. It's important that we apply the gospel of Christ. It's important that we have a life that will help not only ourselves, but others to see the path and the way of eternal life. How important it is to recognize the course that's been set before us by the Son of God, that we could set our compass, we could set our travel in the straight way. He doesn't vary. He doesn't go and come back. He doesn't wander all over the place. He knew where He was going when He came, and He knew where He was going when He left, and He knows what He's going to do when He comes back. And when He does, He's going to come back, and there's going to be people like you and I, and maybe some of us, that's going to be here to meet Him. And the point that I'd like to bring out tonight are we ready to meet Him? Are we ready to do just exactly that? Are we ready to meet Him? Are you ready to see Him? Are you ready to view upon Him and feel the presence of the Lord and the Spirit that engulfs you so mighty and so powerful? How important it is that we come to the conclusion that He loves us, and He's gone to great lengths to do everything possible to save you and I and cause it to be written and whispered over the generation of time, follow thou Me and do the things you see Me do. The things that we see our Lord do isn't something that holds aught against others, hold grudges, use foul language, do the different things. You know, sometimes in our life, because old Satan's there and he's in and he's coming in and telling us all this and that and everything's going to be all right and one thing and another, yet, you know, the Scriptures tell us that's not so. You can't go hide, and I can't go hide between a chicken house and a barn and think I can tell secrets and think I can do different things, and nobody will know. Dad won't know it. Mom won't know it. Grandparents, our friends, our brothers and sisters, they won't know. How about the Lord Jesus Christ? He knows. Don't ever let anybody fool you, and don't let Satan fool you. He knows. Are you aware of the fact that while I'm talking to you now, He knows your very thoughts? He knows what you're thinking. He knows just exactly what you're thinking. You can't hide from the Lord. You can hide from people on this earth, yes, but you don't hide from the Lord. And you know what you have to do and the things that you do and those different things, you know how important it is that we come to the conclusion that we're not going to get away with anything, that He has set before us the way, and that's the way it's going to be. I'm going to read in Ecclesiastes, and most of you will know where I'm going, in the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes. And I'm going to read the 13th and the 14th verse. It says this, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. That's everything. That doesn't leave out anything, does it? If it's the whole matter, isn't that all of it? Okay. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, For this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is all of our duty. Oh, you go to work, and you have to work for people because you have to have a living, you eat, and you pay for a house, and you do all kinds of stuff. And when you're there, why, you have to do what they want you to do or they fire you and everything, you know. But your whole duty and my whole duty and all the life that's been born out of the fact of Adam and Eve, which is going to be the whole people that grace this earth, everyone of the whole human family of Adam, their whole duty, whether they know it or not, is to keep the commandments of the Lord. Their whole duty is to love the Lord thy God with all thy might, mind, and strength. Their whole duty is to know that He's there. Their whole duty is to build up our faith and our trust and our hope in Him. We're entering into a new year. Did you accomplish everything last year that you thought you need to accomplish? Are we still this year with a hope that we get better? Are we still seeking? Are we still talking to Him? Just like we saw right here when my granddaughter was administered to. Are we still talking to Him? Are we still using and exercising the beautiful gifts that He's given us with the hope that we would choose to follow Him and to be His children, to recognize Him as our Savior, to recognize Him as the one that has the power to help you and I to overpower the enemy to our soul, that guy called Satan, or the devil, or the father of lies, or the many things. And that's what he is. He's the father of lies. He'll lie to you to get you to do anything that's opposite of Christ. He is the father of lies. He's a spiritual being, and he can come and go. And he will do so until the Lord binds him and chains him and places him down. He'll be coming and going to destroy the souls of the children of men. So every day that you go to bed and every morning that you get up, you have an enemy to your soul that has a desire to destroy you. Whatever year it is. It doesn't make any difference. We're in 16 now, but how about 15? He wanted to destroy it in 15, 14. Clear down to 27, Jim. A long way. His desire is to destroy our soul. His desire is to get us caught up in the things of the world so that we don't have strength enough. We don't have strength enough to not follow after the world and not follow those things. That's his desire. His desire that we gather the strength to tell Satan, get hence behind me. He tells us if we walk properly that Satan will flee from us because he realizes he has no power over us because our heart is tuned in harmony to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That we're tuned. We're not discourse, but we have harmony with our Lord. Because that's a desire of our heart and our mind, is to walk justly and holy before Him, to be a light, to be a help to those that are struggling to do those things. And that's not just for the ministry. That's for you sisters. That's for you young people. Whoever you are, you know, you can make a stand for the Lord. Don't ever think that you can't, because you dead sure can. And you can tell people, no, I don't do that. I don't believe in that. No, I'm not going to do that. and how important it is that we understand that. And I want to start with a scripture this evening. I want to go over on in the Book of Mormon, in the 16th chapter of Alma. A lot of these scriptures you're going to understand and that you know, and you're going to hear them before and everything. But let me tell you something. It's common to hear it day after day and time after time, because the Lord has told us that He loves us. That's every day. He don't skip 5 weeks and then come back and give another day. He might not love the things that you and I do, but He loves us. He loves the welfare of your soul and has from the very beginning, from the time that He sent it down into your mother's belly. He has loved you. And He has a desire that you can come and live with Him and His Father. That's the biggest desire. That we would do just exactly that. Is there anyone here that don't want to do that? Is there anyone here that doesn't want to go live with God the Father and Jesus Christ? If there is, you better start talking to some of your people here and get yourself wired in right, because it's important that you walk that life, because He tells us that we're going to be judged by our works. I know the world says that's nonsense. We aren't going to be. But then they turn around and tell you, well, some people are going to be sent to hell. If you're going to be saved by grace, why aren't they saved? We're going to be saved by the grace. That's right. According to our works. It's how you and I apply the gospel to our life. If you don't apply the gospel to your life, He's not going to hold you. He tells us in the scriptures that He has the mercy, but He says mercy won't override justice. They have caused those things to be written to edify you and I. Bob held up when he was up here, he held up the Bible and the Book of Mormon before us. And he said, here. This is our direction. This is our map. This is our direction of eternal life. How important it is. And he tells us he doesn't change. Not even a shadow of changing. If that's true, and you and I know, and we know that we're violating the law, and we continue to do so, what do we expect him to do if he doesn't change? I can tell you what he's going to do. He's going to send us where we don't want to go. That's where it's going to be. Whatever year it is, if you live to be another year, another 5 years, or another 100 years, it doesn't make any difference. They're still under the law of God and has been from the very beginning. And they're under the law of the Son of God, who came and brought the New Testament scriptures to us and openly stated that the law of Moses, he says, was given because of transgression. They wouldn't obey. They'd go their own way and they'd do their own thing. Did any of us go our own way and do our own thing today? What would we say? Oh, yeah, no, I wouldn't do that. How important it is that we come to the conclusion that he's just exactly like our sister Chris said, where she wrote it on a deal and put it up there where she could see it continually. Your works and my works are written down. And he says we're going to be judged by them, whether we can go live with him or whether we cannot. There's no messing around. There's no playing around. It's dead serious. It's dead serious, older people, middle-aged people, young people. It's dead serious that your parents teach you the gospel of Christ, teach you the things you're to do and the things you're not to do. That's important. And it's important that you listen. Because if you don't want to listen, what happens? It's important that we come to the conclusion that God has a way. And it's up to you and I to follow that way and to be obedient to it. And if we aren't, the only one we're fooling is ourselves. We're not fooling anybody else but ourselves. That's where it comes from. Right there. And that's what happens when we begin to fall away. And if we're caught up in the world, he tells us we're in the world, but he says, don't be of the world. Though we live in the world, we're not to be of the world. We're not to follow the world, because the world takes you away from God. The world takes you away from the things that you don't want to lose. And that's the love of our Father. That's the love of the direction that he gives you when you're trying. You know, if he sees you trying, he don't push you away and say, nah. What's the Book of Mormon say? Did he tell anybody to go? He said, no. You know, when you get into it and you begin to open up the scriptures, you find how beautiful it is and how beautiful it's written to teach us and to edify us of that Son of God that came and lived his life as an example for us and took on the flesh and gave his life so you and I could have life. I'd say that's a lot of love. That's a lot of love. How important that is. And so, you know, I want to read here. I'm going to start on page 430 in the Book of Mormon. I'm going to read 228 through 230. He says, behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Did you know that? We're here to prepare ourselves to meet God. That's what this life is about. Okay? Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. That doesn't mean that Adam goes to work for the police department or somebody, or Zach goes to work tomorrow for the fire department, or that when he talks about this, for their labors, to perform their labors, that means spiritual labors. It's the time that he has allotted to you and I to perform the spiritual labors. And you know, when you think about it, you know, we have different times. Some people live a long time. My brother's 88 years old. He's had 88 years to do that. I've only had 83. Don's had what, 85? And so, you know, some of them don't live to be that old. Some of them isn't blessed to be blessed all that period of time, and I mean blessed. I've told you before, and I'll tell you again, you know, Louise and I have been married now going on 59 years. But we've had more fun accidentally than most people do on purpose. And it's because of our Lord. It's because he was the Lord of our house. That's what's important. That the Lord is the Lord of your house. And the joy and the happiness that goes with the Spirit of our Lord. Impossible for a tongue to tell you the beauties and the joy that comes. Impossible. There's all kinds of languages in the world, and they might speak the best they can and everything else, but how do they tell you the love of our Lord that blesses our sick, that lifts us up, that directs us, that shields us from the power of the adversary, that does all those things that's interested when we're in this period of time that we're choosing to where we want to go live? How about that? That's what we're doing. We can say, I ain't going to choose. I don't want to do that. Well, you might not want to do it, but you're doing it. whether you like it or not. You were sent here by the Lord, and that He's going to make the decision according to the Scriptures to what's going to happen to that individual that lives inside of this house. This is just an old physical house, and He says the physical body, flesh and blood, don't enter in the kingdom of heaven, but the individual that lives inside of this house can. If I choose to follow the gospel of Christ. Is that essential in 16 in the new year? It's essential every day to follow the Lord. It's essential every day to know without a shadow of a doubt that we belong to Him. That He's been calling out to us to come. That He has set His hand upon us so many times and blessed us. And we've experienced those blessings. So how can we doubt? How can we doubt? How can we doubt the need to follow after Him and to need to know that all good things come from our Father in heaven? It don't come from Satan. That's for sure. And neither does it come from man. It comes from the one that created the man and breathed the breath of life in us and directed us. That's where it comes from. The same one that you and I have a right to follow. To approach God and talk to Him in the name of His Son, in Jesus Christ. And know that He hears. Especially when we're endeavoring to walk after Him and follow after Him. That you can feel His hand in your leading you and directing you and helping you and lifting you up. And give you encouragement, saying, oh, you can make it. Come on. I know you can. You can make it. How important that is. And now, as I said unto you behold, before, as we have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech you that ye do not procrastinate the day of your repentance, until the end, for after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, oh, did you get that? That this day of life is given to us to prepare for eternity. What is that? That's for everlasting. That's a no end, isn't it? That He's given to us for us to have that, to live with Him and His Father. That's what He's done. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness wherein there can be no labor performed. This is our time, brothers and sisters. This is our time of that we have a right to procrastinate. He's given us our own free will. Yes. But when you really think about it, do you really want to procrastinate? Or do we want to take the period of time that God has given us to prepare ourselves to go live with Him and His Father? Isn't that what it's all about? That's what it's all about. And that's the most important thing in our life. To work towards with all our might, mind, and strength. And to seek for prayer, for strength, and courage, and direction, and vision. That's what it's about. That's why we're here. Whatever year it is. It has to do with the welfare of our soul, our Lord. whatever year. Oh, 15 is behind us. But it's because of him that we got life here today in 16. That's why you and I are here today. It's because he's blessed us. And so it's important that we understand that through and by the power of God, all things are possible. And he tells us that he's given us this time to prepare ourselves to go live with him and his Father. Have we been busy preparing ourselves? Have we? You're the only one that can answer that for you. Have you asked God to give you the strength to resist Satan? To say no? When things come into our life? How about that? Has he? Have we? Have we asked him to forgive us when we fall short? When we should have bore witness to somebody and we didn't? When we should have talked to him about the Lord, about eternal life, and we didn't? We had the opportunity and we let it go by. Is that our job? Yes, it's our job to witness. It's our job to live a witness daily. That wherever we go, whoever we're around, they will recognize that you bear a light. That you have a light with you. That you have something that most people don't have. That there's something different about you. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. I want to go over to pages 675 in the Book of Mormon. That's the 13th chapter of the third book of Nephi. And I want to read a few scriptures there. I'm going to start in the second verse. I'm going to read through the fifth verse. For behold, out of the books which have been written, and which shall be written. Take notice that all the books weren't written then. This time here, we know that Christ was here, and this was in 34. But there's a lot of the Bibles, and a lot of the things in the Bible that you and I read wasn't written till 60. Wasn't written till later on. But take notice what he says about those books. Let's listen to it for a minute. For behold, out of the books which hath been written, and which shall be written, which shall be written, shall this people be judged, for by them shall their works be known unto men. And behold, all things are written by the Father. Therefore, out of the books which shall be written, shall the world be judged. You and I are going to be judged by them. You know, what does that tell us? Does it tell us maybe we better read them and find out what they say? Yeah, well, maybe we better go at it very prayerfully and ask that that Holy Spirit would direct us so that we could fully understand and know what the Lord requires of us. Because they're going to judge us. Isn't that what it tells us in the 20th chapter of Revelation? That the books were open and another book was open, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. How they applied the gospel of Christ to their life. And you know, that's important. That's important. You know, I can come in here and tell you, you know, I'm righteous and I want to live a good life and you know, I want to get along with everybody. And all the time I'm telling you that, I walk down there and get back in, and I sock Bob right in the eye. Which one would you remember? Do you know how important it is to apply those things to your life? That people that surround you and see you and know you, that's what they're going to remember. They're going to remember that you were gentle. They were going to remember that you could forgive. They were going to remember that you did things that was the right way. You wasn't trying to beat somebody up. You wasn't trying to run them down. You wasn't trying, But you were trying to do it according to the law, according to that written word that's going to judge us. That written word's going to judge us. Whether you and I want it or not, it's going to judge us. And it's going to make a difference to where we're going to go and where we're going to live from all eternity to all eternity. It's going to make that difference, whatever we want to do. Let me go here a little further. Third verse. And behold, all things are written by the Father. Therefore, out of the book what shall be written, shall the world be judged. For know ye that ye shall be judges of this people according to the judgment which I shall give unto you, which shall be just. And he's talking to the 12 that he chose upon this land. Okay. Therefore, what manner of man had ye ought to be? Verily I say unto you, even as I am, and now I go unto the Father. And you know, he says, you know, that those brothers should indeed be even as he is and what he ought to be and everything. You know, sometimes you go out and around, they say, well, you know, that guy, he was an apostle, and he said this or he said that, or that guy's he's an elder and he says this and he says that. And you know something? That same thing fits everyone in this room, every sister, every young person that has the power to understand. People are watching you to see how you react, to see what you do, to see what you say, to see how far you will yield to what they're teaching you that's opposite of the gospel of Christ. How far are you willing to go along with it? Or are you going to tell them, I don't believe in those things because it's the opposite of the scriptures, and I'm going to be judged by those scriptures. Those scriptures tells me what I'm to do and what I'm not to do. They're my director. They're my director. And how important it is. Does the scriptures tell you, I'm going to ask you, does the scriptures tell you that when we're in a season of prayer that you should be playing and laughing and pushing and stuff like that? Is that what the scriptures say? Can anybody find that for me? The scriptures tells us that we're to be serious. We just had a sister administered to here. Was you praying for her and praying for the brothers that were in the hands of the Lord to pronounce a blessing upon her? Or was your mind somewhere else and you didn't care and, you know, and just everything? How about when you were administered to, if you're going to be someday, would you like to have that, the people thinking everything else and just going on? You know, it's important that we realize that God has a law. And he expects you and I to obey that law. That's why he has preserved it and caused it to be written in two books to edify us. And inform us that there are other books coming, that there's going to be 12 books we know and maybe even more that's going to have the law of God when the people go home and the house of Israel gathers together. There's going to be a record with them. And they're going to come together. And those records, you can bet, is going to teach the exact same gospel as the one that's laying on this podium right now. Because he doesn't change. And I've often thought, you know, as I read in the Book of Mormon where he says, now I'm going to tell you, my father told me to tell you, and I'm telling you, I'm going to another one of the house of Israel. He didn't name them. He said, they haven't seen me, but he was going to go see them. I wonder, was there a St. John there? Or was there three Nephites there? Or was there some wherever he went? Was there others that had a desire to live and just teach the gospel of Christ? How about the other tribes where he went? Were those there that embraced him and believed? And their greatest desire was to teach the word of God to the people so that they would know how to be saved. Have you ever seen anybody you didn't want saved, Adam? No. When you're at the grocery store, at your school, or wherever you're at, or at work, wherever, do you ever run across anybody that you wouldn't want saved? You cast them to hell? Or is the whole desire of your heart is for them to know your Lord and know how important it is to their life, even their life here, the joys and the happiness and the peace and the things that comes into your lives, even during all trials and tribulations, that peace that comes from our Lord caresses our hearts and our minds. And we know that He's there. Why, we're here to be tried. We have to know that we're going to have trials and tribulations. That's what we're here for, isn't it? We're here to work out our salvation. We're here to choose. We're here to make a choice where we want to live from all eternity to all eternity. That's what it's all about. That's what we're here for. And so we get mad if we got the tribulation? No. We ask the Lord to lift him from us. But we want to go with it. We know that we're going to have trials and tribulations because that's what we're working out. That's what we're working out, where we want to go and live from all eternity to all eternity and who we want to live it with. That's what it's all about. And so it's important that we come to that conclusion. And it's important that we come to that understanding. I want to go over to page 82 in your Book of Mormon. And that's the first chapter of the second book of Nephi. And I'm going to read one verse. I'm going to read the 65th verse. He says, "For the Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the way," I'm going to read another, "and the way is prepared from the fall of man, and salvation is free." Who prepared that way? Our Lord. Yeah. He prepared that way. Yes. "And the law is given unto men." That law is given to you and I. We call it a Bible in the Book of Mormon, where we can read and study and know what's required of us so that we can call upon the Lord. And you know, He even has what He calls a Holy Ghost, and He named it the Spirit of Truth. And He says, "He'll teach you all things whatsoever I have commanded." If we seek and have a desire to know, even to when you go into your own closet and close the door underneath a mesquite tree out there and you visit with the Lord, you know He's hearing you because He's right there and you can feel His presence. You know He is. And wherever you're at, you know, under all circumstances, whether they're good or bad, you know that the Lord loves you because He's blessed you so many times. So many times. You know, Louise and I hadn't been married too long. And we went and she had a tumor in her head, in her brain. I went to the doctor with her and he said, she's got a month or two. And you know, that's a long time ago. And she started fasting and praying, and Don and I went over and administered to her. And we're going on 59 years now. It's been quite a while. And 4 children. Well, no man did it. The one that created the man did it. He's the one. He's the one that blessed her. And so, you know, it's important that we realize that wherever we go and the things that we do, that that we're subject to the will of God. And we need to be, because the world is so about us and so in and wants to catch us up, and does catch us up a lot of times. That's why the scripture says, though we're in the world, we're not to be of the world. We're not to be of her plagues. And the world is full of plagues. Sponsored and directed by a man called Satan, the enemy to our soul. The one that was cast out of heaven with a third of the host of angels and was cast down. Him. That's what it's about. And he's mad, and he don't want you to go to live with God the Father and Jesus Christ. He wanted to be in charge of everything. So as a result, he's come against you and I every chance he has and try to whisper to us to do something that we know we're not supposed to do, and all kinds of stuff. And he just works and works and works and works at it, and he never gets tired. He's there day and night. He never gets tired. But you know, the Lord is our only way to overcome him. You know, I read an article one time by a brother in a restoration group that was the president of them. And I think Jim was with me. We were ready when we were working up in that area and going into Idaho and stuff. And you know, their president said that he wasn't afraid of the devil. Boy, the devil couldn't do anything to him. When he went to bed at nighttime, he had two loaded six-shooters under his pillow and a loaded shotgun right to the side of his bed. Now, can you imagine what a pistol or a shotgun would do for Satan? He's a spiritual being. Just think about that. You know how far off sometimes we can get when we're not listening to the scriptures, when we're not following those books that he tells us he's caused to be written for us. He loved us so much, not only does he give us the avenue of administration and blessing of little children, and forgiveness, and baptism to be washed clean, all the things that he's given us. He's also provided two books for you and I to study and to know what's required of us so that we could know that we can depend on him and that he's there day and night. And what a joy it is. Whatever confronts us, we know we aren't by ourselves. Isn't that what we ate this morning? We ate the sacrament, the bread and the wine. Why? So his spirit would be with us. Do we believe that? I do. I know it for a fact that that spirit is with us. He blesses us. He strengthens us. He leads us. He gives us a desire to bear witness of him, to testify of him and of his goodness and of his love and of the way that he provided for us to come and live with him and his Father. How important is that? Real important. Very important. I want to go now my time's getting away from me. I got started and I haven't got to find a place to finish here. I want to ask you, I guess I'm going to go in a different direction here just a little bit. I'm going to go over to Ephesians, and I want to go to the fourth chapter of Ephesians. Now, Joel read some scriptures from Ephesians today that is really good, and it was in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, and I want to read there some of the scriptures that he read, and that was in that was 17 and 18 in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. You know, we could see real good. Maybe not even have to wear glasses. But we can be blind in our heart. Just too busy and just too smart to think that, you know, that those things are written in those books. Yeah. I'd rather be blind in the eyes than in my heart when it comes to the Lord. How important that we know that He is. How important do we know that He's there and that He goes and He walks with us and He talks to us and He directs us and He blesses us? And how many times has He shielded us from the power of the evil one and we didn't even know it? Do you pray when you visit with the Lord? Do you ask Him to hedge up the power of Satan? Do you ask Him to bless your people and bless the church, that it would grow spiritually? Do you ask Him those things? How important it is that they're there and they go out, our brothers go out and they teach the gospel, and sometimes the sister goes with them. And how important it is. I'm going to read, and then I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to read in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, as long as you're there. I'm going to start in the 10th verse. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Wow. What a statement. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. What does that mean? Is that to be with a bunch of guys? Oh, well, no, I don't think the Lord would say that. No, I mean, He says, be strong in the Lord. That you and I are to be strong in the Lord, that we know that He's the way to eternal life, and there is no other name given under heaven whereby we can be saved. We can say and do and whatever. There's only one way, and that's through the Lord. There isn't another way. And there's not anybody else on this earth that has the way, other than they're directed of the Lord and by the Lord. And if they're directed of the Lord and by the Lord, they're teaching you the way because it's in the Lord. There isn't another way. It isn't in Charlie Brown or Schultenheimer or Hammerslag. It's in the Lord. He's the only way. There isn't another at all. I want to read on here. He says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." I'd like to ask you, did you put on the armor of God this morning when you got up? When you go to work or you go to school or whatever you do, do you put on the armor of God so that you can resist the wiles of the devil? He's got one, you know. He has one that you and I can put on daily. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Wow. Doesn't that hit the old world right on the line? How else could you say that? It's really direct, isn't it? You know, we find when we read the scriptures, the Lord is direct. Let's go a little further. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in every evil day, and having done all to stand. We say evil days are coming. We got some now, but they're going to get worse. Do we want to stand in those days? You better learn how to put on the armor of God. You better put it on so you know it fits you. And use that armor of God. How important it is. We need that armor of God on to direct us. Let's go a little further here. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Wow. That's quite an armor, isn't it, guys? Gals, brothers, sisters. That's quite an armor, isn't it? How important is it that we put that armor on? Isn't it important that we put it on and wear it? Yeah. Yeah, it sure is. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That there's a way. He has given us a way. He's given us a way to be able to endure to the end. He's given us that way. He's given us a way. He's given us a spirit. He has a spirit that can help you and I overcome and endure to the end. He's given us the spirit in a way that you and I can overcome Satan and realize that he's an enemy to our soul, that we don't want any part of him, and that we can't hide from our Lord. When we decide to slip out someplace and yield to old Satan, well, you know, I might not know anything about it, or somebody else, or everybody else, or anything, but I'm here to state to you that the Lord does. It's written in your chart that's going to stand with you when you stand before him in the judgment day. It's there. You can't hide from him. Whatever you got on your mind, or whatever you want to do, you can't hide from him. You're not going to be able to hide from him in this year of 2016. If this old world and everything's still here in 3016, they still can't hide from our God. He knows us. He knows our weaknesses. Did you ever ask God to help you in your weaknesses to become strong? You know, it's important that we realize that he's gone out of the way to try to save us, to save you and me. He's gone out of his way to save us, to strengthen us, to help us to witness things and that we know and have experienced. And seeing the sick raised, and seeing the different things that happens, and the dead raised, and those things. How important that is. Those are things that you don't want to give up. That's why St. John tells you, you know, in 1 John, he tells you that when he comes and he stands before you in the light of an angel, old Satan, he says, try the Spirit. What's he teaching? Is he teaching something opposite of that scripture that don't change? That it doesn't even have a shadow changing and is the same yesterday, today, and forever? And you know, it tells you that he comes and he stands before you in the light of an angel. And you say, ooh, boy. But you know, the Book of Mormon says he stands before you nigh under the light of an angel. He doesn't have the light of a holy angel. He doesn't have it. So everything that we want to talk about and everything we want to visit about and everything that we want to think about, if we're thinking about the welfare of our soul, then we know that the things that's been written for us, the things we've experienced and those things, they do not change. They're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can depend on them. And know that they're sure, and know for a fact that we have one there that you and I can talk to and visit with that's interested in the welfare of our soul. That's why he sent his son to suffer and die for us. And so as we enter into this year of 2016, I hope we can do it with eyes that has the ability to see that the scales is dropped from our eyes, that we can recognize that the Lord is with us, that He's directing us, that He's helping us, that He's encouraging us. And above all, he has a hope for us. He has a hope that we'll hear. He has a hope that we'll follow. He has a hope that we'll love him and recognize that through him we can go live eternally with him and with his Father. That he's there. And we can depend on it. And he will be. That's why he's interested in our brothers going out all over to different places where our brothers are going to leave tomorrow. Or whether it's in whether it's up in the Philippines or wherever it is we're out right now. Why? Because he's interested in the welfare of the souls of the children of men. That's why he said that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in every nation before the end shall come. I wonder why. You think he's interested in the welfare of their soul? You bet. He's interested in every one of them. They're precious to him. They're precious to him. And you know, we've been here and we've gone through a lot of things and one thing and another, you know, and it's important that we realize that we've been blessed. Each of you that I see that's here, that has heard the gospel, that have endeavored to embrace it and to pick it up and to follow it. There's no other way other than to saying that indeed you have been blessed. We all have. We live in a land that's been blessed. You don't think so? Ask my brother Dwayne. Ask Gordon there in the Philippines. Ask our brother Brian that's not here. And those that's worked out in the field, you know what it is. Ask Jay. You bet. We've been blessed. Why are you here tonight? Let me read to you here in the 17th chapter of Acts. I'm going to read the 26th verse. He says, "And he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their inhabitation, Did you know that God decided that you was going to be born in America or where you're at now? And that this was going to be your place? Did you ever think about that? Did you ever think of how richly blessed you are? That He made up His mind that this is where you're going to be. And those of us that are here, for some reason, even in our imperfection, He made up our mind that He was going to use us to proclaim His holy word and His love for the children of men and His exactness and understanding of your ways and mine and how important it is. That they should seek the Lord, if happy, they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. Did you know the Lord isn't far from you? Do you have a reason to be happy? Yes, you do. You know, it's important. I'm going to slow down here. I know my time is gone. I heard what my brother said about the Yates. I guess we're guilty. But you know, sometimes when you're talking about the Lord in a home or here or preaching or teaching, it's hard to find a place to stop. To tell you how lovingly He is and how much He loves you. How do you stop? It's hard because He goes on and on and on. He's in our hearts. He's in our mind. We know He's blessing us continually, day by day. When you get out of bed, if you're alive and you're up and at it, you know, you have reason. He blesses us daily, not a week or not a year or something. He blesses us daily. He's here. He blesses you. And He answers prayer. You know, my grandson's a policeman. We have policemen in here. We pray for him. We pray for his safety. And Erica, and our brother, and those, and Glenn, we pray for them, knowing that if God set His hand on someone, nobody can do anything with them. No one. It doesn't make any difference what they try or anything else. Brother Don and I found that out in Yucatan when they were setting traps to kill us. There's nobody can overcome the Lord. When He sets His hand on someone, it's there. And whatever somebody got on their mind, they can't do a thing about it unless He releases His hand and has a reason for something else. So it's important that we pray one for another. It's important that we exercise that prayer where we can visit with God. Just like we visit with one another. You can visit with the Lord. You can talk to Him. You can bear your desires, your needs, your help. You can talk to Him about those things and get a relief and a peace. Because He knows. Just like when we administer to people right here, did you know that even before I speak, to ask Him to bless them, the Lord knows the desires of my heart for their blessing. And He knows what they need far greater than I. That He's constantly with us and constantly has the hope that you and I will wake up to the fact that we need to put on that armor. We need to wear it. We need to testify to people of the hope that we have within us with meekness and fear. May God bless us in the new year. May we see where the Church of Christ will grow spiritually, where our people will grow, where our children are taught, where they have a hope and a faith in the Lord. And that they will recognize that there are times and things that you do. You know, when you pray, you know, the Scriptures even tell you they knelt down and prayed, didn't they? When he was blessing the little children, what the Lord asked them to do, he says, kneel down. And they knelt down and they prayed. He has instructed us with so many beautiful ways and things that I can't bring them all tonight, because you go to sleep, you'd be tired. But know this, he blesses us daily. He blesses us daily. He's blessed our brothers that goes out in the field and are gone. He set his hand on them. Don't ever think for a minute he hasn't. He set his hand upon them. Because he wants us to know that he's there. And that we really depended upon him. May God bless us to that end.